We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Ora Chaim, Chelek Beis, Hilchas Birchas Oreach, Halacha Gimel, towards the end of paragraph Zayin. V'ze bechinas shemen amishcho sheboi nimshichu kol kleya beis hamikdash. Rav Nosson Zal says, now you can understand also why there was a special type of oil that also had these spices from the Torah that had a beautiful smell to it, this oil, which was used to anoint all the kelim in the Beis HaMikdosh, to initiate all the kelim in the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdosh. Vaydeze nichnesu kulam, v'niskatshu kulam, b'kdushas klei shoreis. That's what initiated them and brought them to this status of klei shoreis, to be official kelim for the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdosh. Why? Ki kol ha-kedushos nimshocha mi-Hashem Yizborach shu sheresh kol ha-kedushos. Because all holiness originates from Hashem. Hashem is the Holy of Holies and the source of all holiness. K'may shekosov, as the Pasuk says, kedoshin tihiyu ki kodosh ani. Hashem says, I want you, the Jewish people, to be holy because I am holy. V'chol ma'ashin is batlin elav Yizborach b'yoyser nimshach ha-kedusha b'yoyser. And the more that a person nullifies himself or an object to Hashem, the more holy that item becomes. V'yalkein al yidei shemen amishcho b'chinas reyach ha-toiv b'chinas l'reyach shmonecho toiv m'kanal. Therefore, by using this sweet-smelling oil, something that has a reyach toiv, which symbolizes that beetle to the oire in soif, which we said is also like, the kesher is like smell. That's how they plugged in these physical vessels into Hashem's infinite light, shehu shoiresh kol hakedushos, which is the source of all holiness. V'yalkein al yidei ze nimshach aleihem kedusha. Therefore, this is how we draw kedusha onto these klei shoreis, v'niskatshu b'kedushas hamikdosh uklei shoreis, and they receive the holiness of the Beis Hamikdosh, and they become official klei shoreis. Those Rav Nosson Zal showing us how different things in Yiddishkeit, which involve smell, wherever there's this issue of smell, it's because you need to plug that item into that highest place of the infinite light of Hashem, where we learned earlier that our only connection to there is in a sense of smell. It's so high a place that you can't grab onto it, you can't hold it in any way, because it's the Oir Ein Sof. It's something that you can, it's like a person walks into a store that's all perfume and has fantastic smells, and the most he can do is leave with a little bottle of perfume, you know, which costs him $35 or $135, you know, and take that little bit with him, which is like a memory of that store that had these hundreds of bottles of perfume, and that was a combination of all the sweet aromas of the whole world, you know, that kind of thing. Here also, when we talk about this Oir Ein Sof of Hashem, our connection to that, we had learned earlier, is Bebechinas Isyadin Veloy Isyadin, you know, Moti Veloy Moti, that kind of concept. And it's compared to a Reach, it's a smell, it's something we can get a whiff of, that kind of thing. And that's why we see symbolically that when we want to take Kalim and sanctify them, initiate them as Kalim of the Beis HaMikdosh, we do it by smearing upon it a special sweet-smelling type of oil, this Shemen HaMishcho, as it was known, which was made from similar ingredients to the Ketores. That's how we plug it into that very high place, that very high aspect of Hashem Kaviyochel, you know, to give it its Kedusha. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, paragraph Ches, V'ze b'chinas Moshiach. And with this we could understand the concept of Moshiach. She'oz yakiru v'yedu kol yoshvei seder v'gdulos yisporah. Because we know that when Moshiach comes, the entire world is going to recognize and acknowledge Hashem's greatness. Ki Moshiach yifkach enei kulam lodaz ki Hashem u'alikim. Moshiach is going to be the one to open up everybody's eyes to recognize Hashem. Ki k'may shekosov, as the pasuk says, ki timolei ha'oretz deo lodaz es Hashem. That when Moshiach comes, the entire world is going to be filled with an awareness and an understanding of the presence of Hashem. V'alkein nikra Moshiach. This is why he's called by this name Moshiach. Moshiach means the anointed one. Al shem shemen amishcha. again, because of the way that the Jews anointed a king was by using this Shema HaMishchah, this special smelling type of oil. Shu b'chinas l'reach shmonecha toivim, this shemen that has this reach toiv. K'alidei b'chinas horeach, b'chinas shemen HaMishchah, a'idei ze nimshach chiyas haneshama. Because we learned earlier that smell is associated with the neshama, the chiyas of the neshama. Ki horeach u'b'chinas horeshimu shel habitul. We had learned earlier that when a person is zeichet to be botel to the oyer ein soif, when he comes back, his connection there is like one who smelled something special. That's his connection. Shaydei zeh haynu al yidei horeshimu v'azricha shel habitul. Ikari he'oras hadas lodas ki Hashem olikim b'chinas atoris lodas ki Hashem olikim kemuva b'mayim ranochi ayin shom. Because we learned, Rabbeinu Zal had told us, both in chapter 4 in Likut Imran and in chapter 65 in Likut Imran, in the first day of Likut Imran, that the Iker Das, the main Das of a person or of Klal Yisrael, comes from a person traveling to that place above Das, to that place of Bitul To'er Ein Soif, a place where he doesn't understand fully, but he makes a certain connection to something very high, very spiritual. And when he comes down from that, he brings with him a hischatshus hadas. Because he's gone to that place of keser, like the crown of Hashem, when he comes back down, he comes down through chachma bina lahavdil. It's like a person takes a rocket up, he goes out of the out of the atmosphere of Earth, he goes above that, and he connects somewhere there. And then he comes back into Earth, he comes back on the top level, chachma bina das. And because he connected that place to the infinite light of Hashem, even though it wasn't a connection that he's holding in his hands, it's something that can only be described as somebody who smelled something, meaning it's not a tight connection, it's not a tangible connection, it's a spiritual connection. When he comes down, it results in a hischatshus hadas. It results in a new level of understanding of Yiddishkeit and spirituality and everything. Ashrei hazoicha lezeh b'shleimus bemes. Fortunate is that Jew who will be zoicha to do this, 100%. Ki Moshiach hu b'chinas choitem. Because we know that Moshiach is associated with the nose. B'chinas ruach apenu Moshiach Hashem. It's a pasuk. Moshiach is called the breath of our nostrils. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Moshiach's ability to detect the truth, he's going to be able to smell the truth. That's the wording in the Gemara. Moshiach's going to be Moirach Vadoin, Bechinas Vohorechoi Beiras Hashem. As the Pasuk says, he will smell from fear of Hashem. Note, the Pesukim that talk about Moshiach highlight this union of Reach. Kemuva Bedivere Rabbeinu B'makom Achra, as is brought in other chapter on the Likut Imran. Ki Yizgalos Elokus Sheyi Al Yidei Moshiach Ze Bechinas Reach. Because the revelation of Hashem that Moshiach is going to introduce into the world is going to be in this concept of smell. Shehu b'chinas zricha u'reshimu shel habitul kanal, which is the term that's associated with that light that a person brings back when he touched that high, high place of bitul. She'ikr yediyas v'hasogas alakus hu al yidei zeh, where the person's most powerful understanding of Hashem comes from that, comes from the person's ability to go up there to that place of Ein Sof and connect there to whatever limited degree he can connect to. And when he comes back down and he brings with him that little trace of that, when he comes back down, he's zochet to a new hischatshus in Asoga Selukus, in Das. Bechinas L'reach shmonecho toivim kanal, as we said earlier, sheze nizke b'shleimus ha'idei Moshiach she'ova b'mehera b'yameinu. This Klal Yisrael will experience in its fullest sense when Moshiach comes. Lahavdil, you have a similar concept where Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, then he went up to heaven for 40 days and 40 nights, and there he was not human. No food, no drink, no sleep. He went up to a place that was above food and sleep, above Gashmias. And then he came down and brought back down with him his Galus. He brought back down with him the Luchos, the revelation of Torah. In order for him to do that, he had to go up to that, to a place which is above and beyond physical, and it's above and beyond human comprehension. We can't understand, we can't fathom such a thing. A human being going to a place where there's no food, drink, there's no, you know, V'alkei Nikra Moshiach, and this is why Moshiach is called Moshiach, Al Shem Horeach HaToiv Shel Shemen HaMishcha, because his greatness is associated with that extraordinary smell that comes from that oil that the king is anointed by. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, paragraph Tes, V'ze Bechinas Hishtatchus Al Kivrei HaTzadikim Amitiyim. And with this, we could also understand the incredible importance and significance of a person being zeicha to go to be mispalel by the graves of true tzaddikim, to prostrate himself and be mispalel by the graves of tzaddikim. Ki moklin kvuras hatzaddik oemes hu bechinas eretz Yisrael, because the burial place of the true tzaddik has the kedusha of eretz Yisrael. It's bechinas. It's an aspect of eretz Yisrael. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, tzadikim yirshu eretz, tzadikim inherit eretz Yisrael. And Rabbeinu Zal quoted this pasuk about the kever of the Baal Shem Tov, which is not in eretz Yisrael; it's in chutz l'aretz. It's in the Ukraine. It's Mezhebush. And Rabbeinu Zal said that the Baal Shem Tov's tzim has the kedusha of eretz Yisrael to it, based on this pasuk, tzadikim yirshu eretz, ki yodua, as is known. Because we know that the true tzaddik is an aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu, as is brought in many places. And about Moshe Rabbeinu's burial place, the Torah says, "V'lo yoda ishes kvurosoi." Nobody knows where he's buried. His burial place is above the concept of knowledge. It's out of the limitations. It's above and beyond the limitations of understanding. Vafilu hu atzmoi lo yoda. The Zohar HaKadosh says Moshe Rabbeinu himself does not know where he's buried. What does that mean? It doesn't mean literally. It means that the place when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Moshe Rabbeinu represents das. When Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, it means he went above. He went to the next floor. The next floor above Das is that Bitul to the Oyer Ein Soif. What's another word for that in Hebrew? Rotzon. Rotzon, with his only desire. A person has no concept of an understanding, just a yearning, a deep yearning for Hashem. Dveikus, Rotzon, these are all similar terms, similar concepts. V'zeh b'chinas tachlis ha-bitul el ho-ein soif she-zocha Moshe. This is the concept of the highest level of nullification to the Oyer Ein Soif, which Moshe Rabbeinu was zeicha to when he passed away. U'kemoikein zeicha kol tzadik u'emes lefi b'chinosoi le-b'chinas bitul el ho-ein soif b'sha'as istalkusoi. And so too, each and every tzadik emes, when he passes away, on his level, he's zeicha to this concept of bitul to the Oyer Ein Soif. And when a person is zeicha to come to his gravesite and prostrate himself over there, azai nichlolin boy, the person is plugging himself into the tzaddik. He's merging himself with the tzaddik. Vaydeze nichlolin im nefesh hatzaddik b'ho'oyer ho'ein soif. Bebechinas oylom haba, bechinas kulay toy. And when he does that, he's plugging himself into the soul of the tzaddik, which at this point is plugged into that Oyer Ein Soif, that highest place, the place of oylom haba, kulay toy. Vaydeze nizbatel kol hora. And we said earlier that when a person goes to that place, over there, there is no ra. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when it comes to the Keser, there is no concept of right and left. The concept of a right side and a left side begins from Chochmah and Bina. Chochmah and Bina is Chochmah is on the right, Bina is on the left. Keser, there is no right and left. There's only oneness. There's only goodness. You understand? That's this concept of Kuloy Toiv, where there is no concept. We say that Hashem created the world Yesh Me'ayin, right? Yesh is Rosh Hetevis Yemin Smoil, which originates from Ayin. What is Ayin? Ayin is Keser. Ayin is Rotzoin. Ayin is this Bitul Toir Ein Soif, this place that's called Kuloy Toiv. It's only to Kulay Toiv means, again, that if you come there with all your stains, person comes up there with his shirt with chocolate stains and purple and mayonnaise and all kinds of garbage. He goes in there, and suddenly it's like a, what do they call that? It's like a self-cleaning oven. Suddenly they hit him with a laser beam, and suddenly he's all bleach. It's like they dump a gallon of bleach on him, and suddenly he's lily white. Because over there, there is no such thing as bad. So when a person is zeichet to plug in there, lahavdil, the second you plug it into the wall, suddenly the guy turns white as could be. Vaydeze nizbatel kol horav, and ischapen kol havoinus. And this results in an elimination of all evil and a forgiveness of all sins. Kanal, as we mentioned earlier. V'yalkein al yideze yichoylen lizkois lahasogois gedoylois. Mi shezoicha lehizdapkus rucha barucha. And this is why a person who is zeicha to do this properly, according to Kabbalah, the Arizal taught his student Reb Chaim Vitalval how to do this, that when he would come to a grave of a tzaddik, he knew where all the wires were, and all the plugs, and all the connections, and the 220 and the 110, and he was able to plug himself into the tzaddik who passed away. He was able to make a yichud rucha barucha, to connect his ruach to the ruach of the tzaddik who passed away, and thereby receive gallons of information from heaven. By making that connection from his ruach to the ruach of the tzaddik who passed away, he received brand new gallons of understanding of Hashem, hasogas elokus. And if you look in the Kisvei Arizal, Reb Chaim Vitalval speaks about this, that Arizal taught me today certain yichudim, and he told me to go to the grave of Abaye and to use these yichudim over there specifically, and I did, and such took place, and I received this and this information, you know, etc. Kemuva b'shar ha'yichudim, as is brought in one of the books of the Kisvei Arizal. Because through the imprint that one receives, that one retains from having gone up to that place, to that beetle, that high place, which is a concept, of, which is the example of hishtatchus, when a person says mishtatech al kevra tzadik, that's what they're connecting to. This is one of the ways that a person is zoicha to new, extraordinary high levels of understanding in Torah. Ki horishimu meir el hadas. Because again, that trace, that smell that the person retained from being up there on that top floor, that shines into his das. He brings some of that light into his moyach, and suddenly his moyach has a new level of understanding of Hashem and a new ability to understand Hashem. Kanal b'maimar hanal, as is explained in Likut Emran in Torah Samachay and in Torah Dalid, Ayin Shom, look over there. So that's somebody like Reb Chaim Vitalzal. That's the great tzaddikim who know how to do this on the highest level. They know when they visit a grave of a tzaddik how to really plug in completely. But Rav Nosson Zalitz, as he does always, Rav Nosson Zal is never only addressing the tzaddikim. He's always addressing everybody, especially us. V'afilu mi she'enoi bar hochi, and even a person who is not a Reb Chaim Vitalzal, ve'enoi yedei alad karucha brucha, he doesn't know all the Kabbalah that a person needs to know, how to connect his ruach to the ruach of the tzaddik who passed away. Afal pike nase kol ze memela, al yedei shebo al kivrei atzadik yemes, v'nichlal bohem be'emes u'balev sholem, al yedei ribui hatfilois u'tchinois u'bakoshois, shemarbim lehispalil al kivreim, u'lefareish sichosei shom kol echot v'echot, kefi asher yodei es nigei levovei be'emes. Rav Nosson Zal says, all of this happens automatically by a person coming to the kever of a tzadik and trying to plug in there with sincerity and with a wholeheartedness. How's he trying to plug in? Through the tefillahs that he says, through his tehillim, and through his hispeidus that he has there, where he davens a lot and he pours his heart out over there. Each and every single person, based on all the pain, the different things that he has that are troubling him and everything. And the person expresses his yearning, his deep desire to want to repent and to want to come close to Hashem Bemes, and to want to be the way Hashem wants me to be, and I want to be the way the true tzaddikim want me to be. the person is zeichet to affect this super, this hisdapkus rucha barucha. He's zeichet to plug into the tzaddik. And the person is plugging into that top floor, that keser, that place that's above meichin, above everything. Which results in a complete, total whitewash, where all the ra gets eliminated completely. And the person is zeichet to everything good. The kanal, as we explained before, amen. You should be zeichet to do that. Hilchas Berchas Horeach, Halacha Dalet. Rav Nosson Zal says, Uboi is boyer inyan Purim, v'dalet parshios, v'inyan Pesach, u'sfira soimer. Among the topics that he's going to cover in this halacha is going to be included an explanation of these chagim, these holidays. Al pi ha-toyro tiku toichocho, v'lukute tanino, simen ches. This halacha is going to be based on chapter 8 in the second half of Likutei Moran, which is entitled Tikkun Teichacha. This was the final shiur that Rabbi Nachman gave in his life. And in many ways, the ultimate shiur, the highest, you know, when he was at his highest level. Every day, every minute, he was going higher. So this was the last shiur, a climactic shiur, when he was extremely ill at the time. He was spitting up, he was suffering from tuberculosis for 3 years, and he was coughing up a lot of blood to the point where Rav Nosson Zal came into his room. He didn't come into the shul at the time when he was supposed to give the shiur. Rav Nosson Zal came into his room and he saw a pan full of blood that he had coughed up. And Rav Nosson Zal was in a tremendous quandary whether to give the shiur or not. And Rav Nosson Zal saw that he was looking for encouragement, that Rav Nosson Zal wanted somebody to push him. So Rav Nosson Zal pushed him a little. He told him, you know, so many people, hundreds of people have come and everything. And he said to him, we'll do like this. We'll put your chair right near the door so that if you should suddenly feel not good, it'll be very quick and easy to be able to move you out of the main room, you know, and into the private room. Rav Nosson Zal said, okay, if that's the case, then ready. And Rav Nosson Zal gave a shiur for a few hours, maybe 15 pages of Likutei Moran, Torah Tikkun Teichacha, which is an incredible, incredible chapter. Look what Rav Nosson Zal says here now. Ayin shom kol ha-toyra heitev me'roish shel ha-sofa. Review the chapter on Likutei Moran very well from beginning to end. Ki ha-dvorim aruchim va'amukim ma'oid. Because it's very long and extremely deep. No, Rav Nosson Zal uses the words amukim ma'oid, you know, it's deep. Now he's going to begin. V'zeh bechinas Purim. Based on that chapter in Likutei Moran, we could understand the Yontif of Purim. Shehu mapolas homon amolek, bechol doer vodoer, bechol odom uzman. Purim is the holiday when Amolek has a mapola. Amolek is brought down. When? A few thousand years ago? No. In each and every single generation, by each and every individual Jew, during his lifetime, every single year, there's a Purim, there's a Mapolas Homan Amolek that takes place. Kimavoyer ba'toranal, it's explained in that chapter in Likutei Moran, She'ikr milchemes Amolek wal yidei ha'tfilo bebechinas din shel ha'bal koyach. Rabbi Nosson Zal explains over there that to deal with Amolek, who is the worst of all the 70 nations of the Goyim, the worst and the most powerful, you need a different type of weaponry, completely non-standard weapons. The type of tefillah that's needed is a tefillah bebechinas din. Rabbi Nosson Zal explains in that chapter in the Likutei Moran that standard tefillah is called rachmi. The Aramaic word for tefillah in the Gemara is rachami, miloshen rachamim. That tefillah is always pleading, begging, Hashem, please be nice and please give me this and this. Be nice, kind, generous. Rabbi Nosson Zal, in that chapter in the Likutei Moran, introduces a completely opposite type of tefillah, where a person speaks with gvura. There's a certain harshness and power that the person is speaking to Hashem with. And Rabbi Nosson Zal explains why, when it's to be used, how it's to be used. And Rabbi Nosson Zal, in many places in the Likutei Halachos, gives us examples throughout Jewish history and in a person's own life to know when this applies. One example of this is in Tikkun Chatzos. In Tikkun Chatzos, some of the paragraphs there are this tefillah bebechinas din. If you look at it, you'll see where a person says, Hashem, why are you behaving this way? You're nuts? Who are you talking to, man? The answer is that there is, and there's places in Tehillim, certain chapters in Tehillim where it says, Oira Gvura Secha, Hashem, awaken your Gvura. I thought the whole purpose of Tefillah is to try to zap Hashem's Gvura, to try to eliminate the Gvuras. The answer is, these are some examples of this concept of Tefillah Bebechinas Din, and we'll see, Rav Nosson Zal is going to talk about it here. Shaydezeh Machnin Klipa Samolik. This tefillah has the ability to be machnia the klip of Amolek. Kizois hatfila shel habal koyach. The word bal koyach is the terminology that Rabbeinu Zal uses in that chapter in the Kudimran to refer to a great tzaddik who has tremendous power. He has the power, he has the knowledge, number one, to understand this concept that is tefillah bebechinas din, and he has the power to shoot this type of missile and for it to be able to do what it needs to do. Because this tefillah, when it's put forth by a bal koyach, by a serious tzaddik, in its form of din, when the sitrachra sees something that's labeled din, it says, okay guys, send it over here. That goes to the left side. Din is the left side. The left side is the sitrachra. Normal procedure is that anything that's midas hadin or that stuff goes to the sitrachra. So therefore, this tefillah that's labeled din, the sitrachra says, send it over here, and he wants to swallow it. Roitzel of Leisa, hioimedes la sitrachra bebeis habliyashilo. Rabbi Nezal explains over there in the Kutimran that this tefillah, it's like one of those dum-dum bullets, I think they call it, which splatters on contact. When this thing gets into the throat of the sitrachra, suddenly it splatters, it expands, and it gets stuck there. The sitrachra wants to swallow it for it to go down, the way no food normally goes down all the way. It gets stuck in the beis habliyah. Rabbi Nezal brings this from a pasuk, Bitzavoroi yolin oiz. Oiz is gvura. And the gvura gets stuck, yolin, sleeps over in the tzavor, gets stuck in the throat over there, the sitrachra. Vaydezeh, and what happens when somebody gets something stuck in their throat? Sometimes what they try to do as part of trying to get it out is they try to throw up, where it forces them to want to vomit. Vaydezeh mochrachas ha-sitrachra litein hakois. This forces the sitrachra to have to vomit. The bechinas, as the pasuk says, chel bola vayikienu. He swallowed up an entire army. The word chel means an army. The word chel also means strength. Again, gvurois vayikienu. But he was forced to spit it out. Dahainu lohoki ulohitzi kol hakidushois vahadas vahatfilois vohorachmonus shebola menakdusha. All the particles of Kiddusha and particles of Das and Tfilois and Rachmonis, misplaced Rachmonis, that the Sitrachra was able to swallow up from Jews. What do you mean? How does the Sitrachra swallow up Das of a Jew? This is discussed. It's discussed in Sifrei Hasidus, in Sifrei Kabbalah, in Sifrei Musar, how when a person does certain things, Shaloi Lishma, all types of mistakes, which result in a person's mitzvahs and ma'is and toivim getting swallowed up by the sitrachra. So suddenly the sitrachra is forced to return all of that stuff. Hakol tzricho lohoki al yidei zois hatfila bebechinas din shela balkoya shemedes bevei sabliya shelo. All of it, he's forced to return, to give back, to throw up through this tefillah bebechinas din of the bal koyach, which gets stuck in its throat. Vazai, and then loy dai shemekia sitrachra kol ma shebola menagdusha. Not only does he end up throwing up and returning all the chunks of kedusha that he swallowed up, but rather afgam atzmois chiyusa hi muchrachas lohoki. It goes further. Sometimes when a person throws up, they throw up everything they ate. And then if they throw up again after that, they throw up their guts. They feel their, you know, Rahman al-Islam, some women who are pregnant, people that have wives that go through this, know what it is. When a woman who's pregnant feels nauseous, and some women vomit, and when they don't eat, if they're not careful to eat before they're supposed to vomit, then instead of vomiting up food, they'll vomit up part of their inside. Their guts spill out. You know, I don't mean literally, but you know, figuratively, they feel mamish, their insides getting torn out. So this, the Pasuk says, Bebechinas mi bitno yorishenu keil. As the Pasuk says, that Kavyochel Hashem takes out his intestines, you know, the stomach of the Sitrachra sometimes, when this vomiting is activated in this kind of way. V'zeh bechinas geirim shemiz geirim. This is the basis for the concept of a non-Jew that leaves the non-Jews and comes to join Klal Yisrael, that converts. Shehem hoyu betchilo me'atzmois ha-sitrachra. They were initially part of the Sitra Achra itself. V'achshav choyzrim el-agdusha. And now through this process, they're zeichet to be taken out of there and returned to the Kedusha. And this brings an incredible heightening of the kavod of Hashem. Rabbi Ezra quotes the pasuk, "Kadosi Yisroi kedei nestavek v'siyakar shmo dekutsh brichu eva v'sato," that the kiddush Hashem, the honor that Hashem got from Yisroi coming close to the kedusha, is something that hundreds of rabbis couldn't have done, hundreds of tzaddikim couldn't have done. Vaydeze nimshach nevuah. And this leads into a shefa of prophecy, as Rabbi Nizal explains over there in that chapter on the Kutimran. V'zeh b'chinas refuah, and it's tied into the concept of refuah. Those shiurim that Rabbi Nizal gave during those last 3 years of his life, when he himself was suffering from this illness of tuberculosis, very often he would include in the shiur discussion about refuah. Number one, for himself. That was one of the ways that he drew a refuah for himself to keep him alive those 3 years, which was benes. And in addition, his talmidim, or their families, people that needed refuahs, that Rabbi Nizal's derech was to include it in the Torah that he learned, in the shir was included, and that's how he was mashpia, refuah and kiddusha, to those that needed it. And this leads to a birur hamedame, to the person's ability to clarify things that are confusing, that when things are befuddled, when good and bad are mixed together and a person doesn't know what decision to make in a certain situation, this looks right and the opposite looks right, and I don't know which way to go. That's this concept of a medame, where things look similar and it's hard to figure out what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. Birur hamedame means when a person is given the ability to see clearly and to understand and to be able to sort things out very well and identify what's good, what's bad. V'zoichen le'emuna shlema. And this leads to a shlema su'emuna. U'bishvil zeh tzrichen levakeish me'ashim izborach mo'id. Now Rabbi Nosson Zal's quoting Rabbi Nizal in one place over there in the Shir and the Kutimran. U'bishvil zeh tzrichen levakeish me'ashim izborach mo'id. V'letroyach u'lehisyagea b'kol koichoi l'zgarev l'tzadikei emes. And it's for this reason, this issue of birur hamedame, that a person has to daven very, very hard, and a person has to put tremendous effort, exert himself tremendously with everything he has to come close to true tzadikim. Ki kol tzadik amiti yesh loy b'chinas ruach nevuah, ruach hakodesh. Because every true tzaddik has a degree or an aspect of ruach nevuah, of ruach hakodesh. Shaydezeh ikar birur hamedame. That's the essence of this ability to have birur hamedame. Shaydezeh ikar hu emuna. And that's the essence of emuna nashem. Shetluya bebirur hamedame, which is dependent on a person's clarity, to the degree that a person is zecha to clarify the things in life that are unclear, to that degree the person is zecha to a shleima su'emuna also. As Rabbi Nizal discusses over there in Likut Imran, each three words here is a paragraph there, which Rabbi Nizal elaborates on. Avol ein hadovor bo benoke lehiskarev letzadik emes. However, it is not easy for a person to come close to the true tzaddikim. Ki tzrichin lachzor achrov ulevakshoy ulechapsoy mo'oid mo'oid. A person has to search a lot, search very hard and very well to find these tzaddiki emes. Ki kishemiskarev lemanig she'eno emes. Azai adaraba niskalkel hamedame yoiser v'yochel ovoy lamunas kuzvias v'chulam. Because when a person chas v'sholem finds the wrong leader, a non-tzadik emes, then what happens is the opposite, that instead of getting a birur hamedame, his medama gets intensified, his medama gets messed up worse, his decision-making process, his ability to identify good from bad, right from wrong, gets messed up even worse. And chas shom, it leads to false emunos. Al kein tzrichin lechapes ulevakesh ma'oim. Therefore, a person has to search very, very well and very hard. Ula hispalel Hashem yisborach harbe ma'oim. And to daven a lot to Hashem. Sheyizke leskarev letzadik amiti, sheyesh lo yibichinas ruach nevuah. That he should be zeichet to come close to a true tzadik who has a degree of this ruach nevuah. Kidei sheyizbarer hamedam eloi. Shaloi, so that my medame will get a biro, so that I'll have the ability to sort out good from bad, right from wrong. Kedei sheyizke lemuna shlema, and I'll be zeicha to a shlema semuna. Ve'oz zeichen lemunas chidish oilam. And when a person is zeicha to emuna shlema, one of the highlights of emuna shlema is to believe in chidish oilam, to believe that there was nothing in existence whatsoever, you know, before the Shivas Yemei Bereishis, you know, before the 6 days of creation. Lahamin Shashem Yisborach Bores Oilom Yesh Me'ayin Hamuchla, to believe completely that Hashem created the world something from complete nothingness. Shezeh Yefshel Hasid B'Shum Sechel, this is something that the human mind cannot rationalize in any way. There's no way to rationalize how it's possible from nothing to bring forth something. The only way that a person can absorb that and accept it is with emuna. And it's through emuna in chiddush olam that's what's going to lead to the chiddush olam of the future. The chiddush olam yeh bebechinas Eretz Yisrael, and the chiddush olam of the future is going to be similar in concept to the concept of Eretz Yisrael. Ki ikar kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Ki ikar kedusha Eretz Yisrael hual yidei koyach ma'asov higid li'amoy kemo shepirush Rashi al posek bereshis, because we're taught that the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, the specialness of Eretz Yisrael, comes from the fact that Hashem declared in line one of the Torah that He created everything. Dehainu al yidei ma sheyodin shashem yizborach bores oilam. By the fact that we know and we accept that Hashem created the world, and at some point in the future, Hashem is going to renew the world, and make the entire world a concept of the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael, because at that point in time, all over the world, people will know that and come to recognize that Hashem created everything. Ve'oz yisnahe kol ha'olam bebechinas hashgocha v'niflois k'moy Eretz Yisrael. And the hashgocha proti of Hashem at that time throughout the world will be as intense and as powerful and as clear as it is currently in Eretz Yisrael. The hashgocha and the miracles. Shehanogoso al yidei hashgocha v'niflois, where we know that today Hashem's behavior, Hashem conducts himself in Eretz Yisrael with fantastic hashgocha proti and with niflois, with wondrous miracles. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, tomed eini Hashem elokecha bo, that the eyes of Hashem are always upon Eretz Yisrael, more so than in other places of the world. That's currently, but in the future, that's going to spread all over the world. Vioz yisar shir chodesh, and then there will be activated a new type of song, shehu shir shel niflois, a song of wonders, of miracles, shehu bechinas shir poshut kofel mishulash meruba, the type of song that's single, double, triple, quadruple, yud yud k yud k vav yud k vav k, which has a numerical value of 72, referring to the harp of 72 strings on which this Shir Chodesh is going to be played, Shehu Koil Shel HaMoichiach HaEmes, which Rabbeinu Zal explains in that chapter in Likud Imran, that a tzaddik who's qualified to give the right kind of Toichacha, his words are similar to the type of song that's going to be played in the future, this Shir Chodesh of Lasid Lavoi. whereby this tzaddik who's capable and qualified to give toichacha properly, when he's mechiach someone, when he reprimands somebody, he adds inspiration to that person. He gives that person a sweet smell. He doesn't make that person stink. He doesn't bring out the stench of the person when he discusses the terrible thing that person did. On the contrary, he has the ability to turn it around completely and to get that person to give forth a sweet, delicious smell, a sweet aroma. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Nirdi nosan rechoi. Rabbi Nezal quotes this pasuk in the beginning of the chapter there about Moshe Rabbeinu, how the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability when the Jews worshipped the Egel Hazov, when he was Moichiach them, not only didn't he crush them, not only didn't he throw them into depression or giving up hope, but he turned it around completely. He was able to bring forth a success for Klal Yisrael that came out of that sin, that as a result of Egel HaZov, he turned it around to a Binyan HaMishkan. It ended up resulting in the Jews getting Hashem to give them the first time in history that Hashem agreed to be housed on earth. You know, to literally be housed on earth, you know, in such an obvious way, in such a clear way. Shaydezeh machniin mezoina de gufa, vezoichin la mezoina de nishmasa. And when the tzaddik is this type of teichacha, he subdues the mezayna de gufa, he subdues the gashmias in the person, and he expands the ruchnias in the person. Shehu b'chinas reyach, which is referred to as the smell, the concept of smell. V'chulu v'chulu. Rav Nosson says, Ayin sham kol zeh heitev heitev. Look over that chapter in Likut Imran very, very well. Kihem divrei Rabbeinazal, because you know who's talking? This is the one and only Rabbeinazal, Rabbi Nachman ben Feger. Shekol devorov kigachaleyesh, where every one of his words is like a hot, like a fiery coal. Yerdim ad imke tohoim, and they have the ability to go down to the lowest depths that a Jew could ever fall to. Lahalois nefoshois miber shachas, and have the ability to help those nefoshois that are in the lowest places be able to get out of there. Vo'ilim lemalo mishmei hashamayim, and to elevate them higher than all seven heavens, to take them from the eighth gehenim. There's only seven. He can take people from the eighth gehenim down and take them up to the eighth heaven. Again, when there's only seven. Mi yarech shvochem, who has the ability to evaluate the specialness of Rabbi Nezal's words? Mi yisaper noirois gedulosam, who has the ability to tell over how awesome his great words are? Ein dugmosam, there's nothing like it. This is one of the rare instances in the Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal he couldn't hold it in. Like, he felt when he was talking about this final shiur that Rabbi Nezal gave in his life, and if you learn it, it's like learning a whole Shas. That one chapter in the Likutei Moharan is like a set of Shas. It's like traveling through 60 Gemaras. It's so powerful and so deep and so simple and so clear and so obvious, all in one. And Rav Nosson Zal felt he just had to say something about it here. Now Rav Nosson Zal begins his words. This was all the introduction where he gave us a summary to a degree of the highlights of that term in the Likutei Moharan. Paragraph Aleph. Vehine al pi advorim huele yovin hamaskil ktsas she'ein shum yush boilam klal. Based on what we've said, based on the words in that chapter on the Likutei Moharan, someone who's intelligent will understand, someone who has a little bit of intelligence will understand that there's no such thing in the world as giving up hope. Kimo shek omer Rabbi Nezal kam upon him, as Rabbi Nezal stressed many times, umikol hanefilois vayeridois yecholim lalois. A person has the ability to rise up from any and every type of fall, v'hayirida tia tachlis u'aliyah, and to turn the fall, to turn it around into a tremendous success, to a springboard effect. V'hakol b'koyach hatzadik u'emes sheyochol lispal tefila bebechinas adin, through the power of the tzaddik uemes, who knows and has the ability to daven this special type of tefila bebechinas din, shehu bal koyach godol, where the tzaddik who's davening this tefila has to be a tremendous bal koyach. He's got to be very powerful. Shezois hatfila hiyomedes lasedrachra bebeis habliyah shelo, whereby this tefila gets stuck in the throat of the sitrachra. And forces the sitrachra to return, to spit up, to vomit up all the kedushas that it swallowed, v'chulu v'chulu, etc., etc., kind of as we said before. V'yafal pi shezeho inyan ein mi shiachgar mozn of lamoid b'molcham azois, kiim hatzadik u'emes hagodol b'maylam o'oid, shu balkoy hagodol, shu batuach b'koychoy, sheloi tuchal esitrachro levloy oisoy. And even though, on one hand, you can say that the only one who's in a position to do this is a tzadik who's great enough and has enough confidence that when he sends this missile and it's labeled left, turn left, and it turns left, and it goes right into the neighborhood of the Sitrachra, goes right into the thick of things there. This tzaddik knows that this missile is going to do its thing correctly, that nobody's going to, no Sitrachra is going to grab hold of this missile and use it against Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, this thing is going to blow up right in their faces, right in the face of the Sitrachra. Adarabba, hu yoytzi alidei tfilosoi kol hakedushes mi ha-Sitrachra. The Tzadik Emes knows that his tefillah bebechinas din will have the ability, it's a type of paratrooper that goes behind enemy lines, and not only will he not get captured and they'll take away his weapons from him or anything and use it against us, but on the contrary, he's going to rescue, he's going to take rescue from imprisonment, tons of Kedusha that's been captured by the Sitrachra, he's going to release it and return it to the side of the Kedusha. Ki samoy bebeis habliyah shelo, because this tefillah will get stuck in the throat of the Sitrachra, as we explained before. Avol afal pikein, bekoyach hatzadik u'amiti, nimtzeis bechina zois gam b'shar b'nei odom. Rav Nosson Zal says, even though on one hand you would think that this is something that only applies to the great tzaddik, it's not true. Through the great tzaddik, this power can also be transferred, can be shared with other people. V'zeo b'chinas ma'ashon royim kamo anoshim, shehem rishoim gedoilim kamo shonim, vo'evrim aveirois gedoilois v'chamurois rachmona litzlan. This is why we find in Jewish history that there were many cases of people who were tremendous rishoim and committed many very, very bad sins. V'achakach nis'oirim b'tshuva, and then they become inspired in tshuva, v'nasim balei tshuva gemurim, and they become solid, solid citizens, spectacular balei tshuva. Kemuva kama maisis kelu b'gemara u'medroshim v'shar sforim, as we find in many instances that are mamish discussed in the Gemara and Medrash and other sforim in the Zohar HaKadosh. U'kamaisa de Rabbi Elezer ben Dordaya, the famous story of Rabbi Elozah ben Dordaya in the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Daf Yud Zayin, I think it is, where the Gemara talks about a person where there wasn't a single illicit woman that was anywhere in travel distance from where he lived, whom he hadn't visited and spent time with. And one time he heard about one woman whose price was extraordinary, and he had to travel, he had to cross many bodies of water to get there. And he said, great, ready, no problem. And he took off on his mission and went all the way, traveled all the way there, and paid his dues. And when he was about to commit the sin with her, she made a statement, she made a comment that lit a fire in him. And he got dressed, and he left, and he went into the forest, and he started doing tshuva, and he did such a tshuva until his neshama left him in crying out to Hashem. And the Gemara says that a voice from heaven, a baskel from heaven, announced, Ashrecha Rebbe Elozer ben Dordaya, fortunate are you, Rabbi Elozer ben Dordaya, that your neshama is entering into Gan Eden. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, I think it was giving a shir to his talmidim at the time, and he heard this voice from heaven. Just burst into tears, saying to himself, what this means, that a person could do such sins, the worst sins in the Torah, and can be zeiche in tshuva, in it, not again, not something over years. This was a couple of hours, let's say, it took, of his pouring out his heart to Hashem, that not only is he told that his neshama is going straight into Gan Eden, but he's called Rebbe. He's called Rebbe. They gave him the title Rebbe Elozer. And again, this wasn't some one of these Turkey, you know, these draft dodging smicha programs. Where Hashem called him Rabbi. Hashem gave him smicha. That's what a person could be zeichet to. You know, that's what can happen in tshuva. The Nosan Tzutzisa, and another story of another person that's mentioned in the Gemara that did a spectacular tshuva. Ukiyotze Beilu. Maisius Harbe Ma'oid Becholdovador, and many, many stories like this in every generation. Vilechoira Tomua Hadovar Ma'oid. Rav Nosson says there seems to be something very peculiar, very strange about this. Haloyaveira Goirera Saveira. Isn't the rule that every Aveira a person does leads him right into the next Aveira? And the more a person commits more sins, he sinks deeper and deeper into the hands of the Sitrachra. So if that's the case, how is it possible? How does this work? That the guy who dug a trench, you know, he dug himself 7 square miles down, how does he suddenly pull himself out of there? However, Rav Nosson Zal says, based on Rabbi Nizal's words in the Likutei Moran, we can understand exactly how this takes place. Each and every single Jew has a special neshama that has tremendous abilities to stand up to the Sitra Achra and all of its weaponry. Because if a person did not have the ability to withstand their Yetzahara, they wouldn't have that Yetzahara. Hashem wouldn't give them that Yetzahara. Because the Gemara says very clearly, Hashem is not looking for us to fail. He wants us to succeed. So he doesn't give a person a test that the person can't pass. No such thing. As Rabbi Nizal said, that no Jew is given obstacles that he cannot overcome. Your yearning will be to him, and you will rule over him. Talking about the snake. Im tirtze tizgaber olav. Ein shom bepirush Rashi. Rashi Kodesh says right over there in the beginning of Chumash Bereishis, if you want, you have the ability to defeat him, to defeat the snake. The Yetzirah. Al kein tzrichen lo das ulahamin shebevadai kol echad vechad miyisrael afilo apochish bepchusim hu bal koyach godoy lamoid kenegad Yetzirah shaloi. Therefore, we must know and we must believe completely that every single Jew, even the weakest Jew, the smallest Jew, has tremendous abilities in being able to stand up to his Yetzirah. Ve'ikar kol achatoim v'taiva shodom nilkad bem chas sholom hi rak machma shtus. And one of the main reasons why a person falls, why a person fails in Yiddishkeit, why a person commits sins is because he doesn't realize his own strength, doesn't know his own powers. Kimavur b'divrei Rabbeinazal b'ne'imas hacharuzim shaloi hanitfosim b'tchila sefer Likutei Moran, as is found in the poem, the wondrous poem that Rabbi Nizal wrote, that's mentioned in that's quoted in some of the versions of Likutei Moran in front of the Likutei Moran, and this is one of the lines in that poem. V'zeh l'shoinei. These are Rabbi Nizal's words there. Chazak v'nischazek va'al tihye kepil hagodol uchagomol. Be strong. Be firm. Don't be like the big jumbo elephant or camel, who's able to be led by the mouse. A mouse that holds a string and leads along this gigantic 30-ton elephant. V'chol zeh machmashtus she'en yodeh mikoichein. Rabbi Nizal says, it's all because of a foolishness that the person doesn't realize his own strength. He doesn't realize that one of his toes is bigger than that mouse. All he's got to do is shake the toe a little, and the mouse is gone. V'zehu b'chinas ma shekosav Rabbeinu Zal b'Torah tikunal. And this is what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to in that chapter, Tikutei Chochma. She'ikar taivas niyuf. Shehu klal kol hachatoim rachmona litzlan. Nimshach rak mimoichin dekatnusayin shom. Rabbeinu Zal writes there that the most difficult test, the most important test, and the most difficult test that every Jew deals with in life, which is the issue of taivas niyuf, wrong types of relationships with women, regarding women, that the person's weakness in that comes from moichin dekatnus. That's the term that Rabbeinu Zal uses. Ayin shom, look over there in, where Rabbeinu Zal talks about this. Ki habaldovor mizgabor olovat shemapilo lebechinas moichin dekatnus chasishon. The Yetzirah works against the person to the point where the person becomes small-minded. Dehainu shenikhtan moichoi venechlash daitoi. The person's brain shrinks up and the person starts becoming weak, weak-minded. Where the person doesn't realize his own strength. It looks to him like he's so vulnerable and it's an impossible thing to get out of. And he doesn't realize that he's got billions of kilowatts of strength inside of him. And he can say no anytime he wants. He can push a stop button anytime he wants. It looks to him as if he can't stand up to this. Because Rabbeinu Zal tells us in a different chapter on Likutei Moharan that the main strength of a person is not in his chest size or his biceps or his diceps or his forceps. The main strength is in the heart. A person who is strong in his heart, he's determined, he has a self-determination in his heart. That person has the ability to withstand all the desires in the world. And even to withstand this most difficult test, this most difficult taiva. As we're taught cases in the Torah, cases throughout the generations of tzaddikim who were put to the test, and at one point it looked like it was very, very close, and they won, and in the end they passed the test. The reason why people fall and commit sins and fail in Yiddishkeit is because it is moichin dekatnus, dehainu sheniktan moichoi ad she'ein yodea mikoichoi, where the person forgets, they lose perspective, they don't realize their own strength, they don't realize how powerful they are. Ki ikar hakoyach v'aydei chochma shebamoyach. The main strength of a person comes from his chochma, his sechel. Ki chochma hu oisius koyach mo. Because the word chochma is actually a combination of two words, koyach mo, and mo, mem hei, is bigimatria odom. So that the word chochma is actually koach adam, manpower, the power of a man. She'ikar koach odom wa chochma, the main koach of a person is his brain, his mind. Kama shekosuv ha-chochma to'oiz l'chochom me'asoro shalitim asher hoyu bo'ir. That a person's intellect, a person's brains, gives him more strength than 10 powerful rulers in the city. The main ability, the main strength to be tough like a leopard and to stand up to all the desires and all the seductions of the Yetzirah is through Chochma Amiti, which is a state of expansion, mind, when a person's brain is expanded. Because in that chapter in Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal uses this terminology. He says that the Gimel Moichin, the three sections of the brain, are like three walls, three solid barriers. So Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that the three Moichin are like three walls that stand up and block the onslaught of the Sidrachra, especially when it comes to this issue, Taivas Niyuf, Taivas Noshim. That's how he describes the Moichin. They're mamish three solid walls that have the ability to hold back any kind of barrage of effort on the part of the Sitra Achron. Haklal, Rav Nosson Zal says, to sum up what we're saying here, Sheha'odom tzorich lahamin ma'oid bekoichoi, that a Jew is obligated to have tremendous self-confidence, to trust that he has the strength, he has it in him to win. V'yeda be'emunah shlema shebevada yesh koyach, and his mind, his brain, has the ability to win against this taiva, this test that the Satan throws at him 10 times a day, 50 times a day, once a month, whatever mode he's in at the time. Shehu ikra de yitzra bisha, which is the most important test of the Yetzer Hara. Ki hamoyach v'asechel hu haneshama, because the brain of a person and the intellect of a person is the neshama of the person. Kamay shekosov, as the pasuk says, v'nishmas shakai tevinim. Their neshama of Hashem is what gives them understanding. Tevuna. The tevuna is the neshama. Kamay shekosov Rabbeinu Zal b'makom acher, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in another chapter in the Kuduran, v'haneshama shel isha yisraeli afilu shel apochoy shebebchusim, bevadai hi yechol olamoy keneged kol ha'olam imatay vos. And the neshama of the weakest Jew, the lowliest, weakest Jew, has the ability to withstand, to stand up to the entire world with all of its tay vos. Fact. Period. The question was just asked, that it seems, Rav Nosson Zal seems to be talking about two things here. In one place he says that the main strength is in the heart, ki ikar ha'gvura hu b'lev. And then a few lines later, he says, "Kikur hakoyach aideach chokhma shebamoyach." To understand this, we'll mention a few things. Number one, the moyach and the lev are supposed to be one. When a person is successful, when a person is doing the right thing, their brain and heart are working in unison. Just as when we talk about kavyochol by Hashem, in the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the letter Yud represents Chachma, the letter He represents Bina. And those two letters of Hashem's name are called Train Reyin Deloy Misparshim, two best friends that are inseparable. That's the wording. When a person is normal and healthy and religious, their brain and heart are inseparable. Meaning that the heart will never say, "I want this chocolate cake," when the brain knows that a doctor told this person they're allergic to chocolate, and if they eat the chocolate, they're going to die in 15 minutes. So again, the heart, which is all the emotions and all of this, and the brain, which is a certain type of understanding, they're plugged in together, they're working as a team, you know, in Siamese twins, that kind of concept. That's on one hand. On the other hand, there's two aspects. There's an emotional strength and there's an intellect, a brain, a level where the person knows, they know they've studied this item thoroughly and they understand it well, you know, and they understand the benefits, the positive pros and negatives of it. And Rav Nosson Zal, quoting Rabbeinu Zal here, is telling us that it's these two places, it's actually both of these places, where the main strength of a human being lies. You can have a guy who's 8 feet tall and he's got a chest size of 65 inches. And you get another little guy who's 4.5 feet tall and has some brains, and he can put this guy in his pocket. If he understands what to do, that kind of thing. The concept of brain versus brawn, you understand? And that's what we're being told here, that the main strength of a person, you know, is the mental, is the internal strength of the person that's in the brain and the heart and in their ability to work together. That's why we'll see another place in Kutalochas where Rav Nosson Zal highlights the pasuk V'yodato hayoyim v'hashevoyse levavecha, because what happens is by many people, even though in their brain they know that this item is unhealthy, that the heart, which has all kinds of emotions running rampant, and the heart is not plugged in well enough to the brain, so the heart is going off on its own, doing things that are killing the body. Here he's talking about a situation where the heart and brain are mamish so united, and the person's using the chokhmah of the moyach to be the reins on the Gvura Shebalev to succeed. Paragraph Beis. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki ein ze derech ho'anovo lahaktin koichoi v'loimar she'ein loy neshama gavoya kamoya tzadikim v'ksherim. It is not considered humbleness or modesty in a kosher way whatsoever for a Jew to say, haha, what are you talking about? My neshama is like the neshamas of the great tzaddikim. You know, they have neshamas that are so powerful and so high. Ki'ilu ein biyodo ilihiyos ish kosher oy tzaddik. Whereby the person's making excuses for himself as if he doesn't have the possibility of becoming a solid, from person, or even becoming a tzaddik. Ki anova kazu asura. Rav Nosson Zal says this is forbidden. In Judaism, this is forbidden. Vihi anova psula. This is a treif kind of humbleness. This is no good. It's coming from the Yetzirah. Ve'ein zu anova klal. It's a misuse of the word. This is not called anova, that special word that's used throughout the Torah. Rak moichin de katnus. But rather, this is called small-mindedness. I remember my father, used to make a joke sometimes that if you get a guy who has no brains at all, you know, an idiot, a complete idiot, nut, moron, and the guy says, I don't know anything, that's not called humbleness, that's called honesty. He's just being honest. So I'm saying that the word humbleness is not something that anybody can just, you know, use it the way they want. Rav Nosson Zal is also making a very clear statement here of something that's not in the category of anova. Rak moichin de katnus. This is moichin de katnus shetzrichin lehisrachik mizeh ma'oid, whereby a Jew has to stay far away from this. K'may shikosuv Rabbeinu Zal b'mokom achra, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in other places. Rak adarabba, just the opposite. Sorech kol echad omer b'datoi sheyesh loy neshama gavoya ma'oid. Each and every Jew is obligated to think at all times that his neshama is very, very high. He has a very high mameshe, a chelik of Hashem. Ki haneshama shel apochis shebibchusim shebiyisrael hu gavoya ma'oid ma'oid. Because the neshama of the lowliest Jew is something that's extremely, extremely high spiritually. V'tzorech loymar b'daitoi she'eino eloi liyos koroch achar taivas chasashon makoshkin makoshkin lavere zavere chasashon. And a Jew has to be able to say to himself, what? Somebody like me? Royalty, such extreme high level royalty, am I going to be nutty enough to do a ridiculous thing, to do an avera? What, am I crazy? I lost my marbles completely. Somebody who comes from such a level of purity and holiness and spirituality, somebody who comes mamish, I'm told that my neshama is a part of Hashem himself. Imagine how absurd and ridiculous if I would let myself go ahead and act like, you know, the furthest thing from that, chas v'shalom. And go ahead, k'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says, vayigba liboy bedarkei Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal quotes this pasuk in a Torah Nikut Imran, shetzrichin lahagbia liboy bedarkei Hashem, that a Jew has to hold his head high in a certain way when it comes to serving Hashem. He has to consider himself an extremely, extremely important person when it comes to motivating himself not to do averis. Ki kol echad miYisrael rochoy b'sharoshoy ma'oid ma'oid me'avera chas v'shalom. Because each and every single Jew, based on his roots, based on where he comes from, it's the furthest thing imaginable for a Jew to be able to commit a sin. For it to be physically possible for a Jew to commit a sin is a ridiculous, ridiculous thing. As Rabbeinu Zal explains in Torah Zion in the second half of Likutei Moran, ki kol echot miYisrael hu bal koyach godol lamoid keneged kol ha'olamim tavoseyin, because each and every single Jew is extremely powerful and has the ability to stand up to the entire world with all of its cultures, with all of its tavos, with all of its tests. But rather, the most important thing is for a yid to realize his strength, to realize his ability. Nimtzo Shebemes Kol Echad Miyisrael Hu Bal Koyach Godel. So therefore, each and every single Jew can be called a Bal Koyach Godel. When Rabbi Nizal says in that turn in the Kutim Ram that you need a Bal Koyach Godel to fire this missile, to shoot this tefillah b'b'chinas din, Rav Nosson Zal is telling us here, you better believe that every single Yid can be called a Bal Koyach Godel. Rak shelav kol echod zoyche leida mikoychoi. It's just that not every single Jew gets to find out what his abilities are. I remember one of the most touching and one of the most important stories that I heard, that I was zoche to hear when I was about 18, 19 years old, when I came to Eretz Yisrael here, and at the time I heard this from Rabbi Yechaim Rosen, zechon avrocha, where he said that Kaiser Wilhelm was known to be a very kind-hearted person, a good guy. He was loved tremendously by his soldiers. They were very loyal to him and dedicated to him. And this Kaiser Wilhelm was once riding on a ship with his soldiers, and a soldier fell overboard. One guy went over the ocean and into the sea, and the guy started screaming, can't swim, save me, get me out of here. So Kaiser Wilhelm runs over to a sailor and says, give me your gun. And they're looking at him, give me a gun. Give me a gun right now. He grabs the gun, he runs over to the side of the ship, and he yells to this sailor, this soldier that's flailing his hands, he's yelling, save me. He says, I'm going to count to three. If you don't get to the side of this ship by three, I'm going to splatter you in the water. You're going to be one bloody mess. One, two. That soldier found his way to the side of the ship. He got to the side, and they pulled him in, period. So afterwards, like an hour or two afterwards, they said to... There were no ships there in Tom Kaiser Wilhelm?
No, asking if this works with kids also.
I thought he walked on water.
Afterwards, they went over to him. You know, everybody knew this guy, that he was not the type of personality to do. They asked, like, well, what happened? You know, did this soldier say something insult? He said, no, nothing at all. He said to his soldiers, I'm going to teach you something very, very important. Each and every single person has unbelievable strengths and abilities that they have no idea whatsoever that they possess. I knew that this guy definitely has the ability to get, whether he can be a world class swimmer or not, that's another story, but that he can make it those 15 feet or 20 feet from where he was to the side of the boat, I knew he could do it, and I wanted to show it to him, I wanted to prove it to him and to all of you, that the next time you say I can't, you're going to think very, very hard before you use those two words, I can't. And the way it was said in Yiddish, he said, each and every single Yid has b'haltana koichos, hidden strengths. And here Rav Nosson Zal spells it out very clearly, that the person themselves is not aware of. The person doesn't know. And unless you have a tzaddik, or unless you have a circumstance that comes up where you're forced to turn on that adrenaline, in English they call it adrenaline, you know, where something gets activated inside the person, where suddenly the person's like 10 people, and you look at the guy and say, I never would have imagined in my wildest dream that you have it in you to do this and this thing. And we know there are stories of mothers and fathers and who did these kind of things, you know. So this is what Rav Nosson Zal is telling us here in a very, very serious way. There's another story that's attached to this, that again, I heard from the same source about Rebbe Elimelech and Reb Zisha, that they were once traveling. They had accepted upon themselves golos, you know, as to try to help bring about Mashiach's coming. These tzaddikim, who could have had all the respect and honor and dignity, you know, of world-class rabbis, they dressed up like beggars, paupers, and incognito they traveled for about a year, I think they did this. They left home empty-handed, no suitcases, to walk from city to city and to beg for food and this, that, as a means of sharing in the pain at the golos HaShechina. So one time it was a super hot day, and they had been walking for hours, and they were exhausted, and they sat down on the side of the road under a tree, you know, in the shade of a tree, and totally out of it. And they see a Russian, you know, riding with a wagon of hay, loaded with bales of hay, and he's sitting all the way on top, and he's riding along cloppity-clop slowly to be careful that the wheels shouldn't hit a rock or anything and have one of those bales of hay come tumbling down. And then it's going to take him a half hour to climb all the way down, pick it up, schlep it up, put it back in place, and get back to his seat. It's a whole production. P.S. Sure enough, he's riding along his merry way, and somehow the thing tilts a drop, and Abelahi goes tumbling down. And they hear him curse in Russian. He's cursing and yelling. And then he sees these two rabbis there under the shade of the tree. So he yells out to them in Russian, Jid, you know, come over, you know, help me, throw it up to me. Because if they'll toss it up to him, they'll save him that whole balagan of climbing down, pick it, climb back up that whole production. They look at him, and they look at each other, and they yell back, can't, just can't do it. Because they were being honest, they thought, can't, I'm exhausted, totally wiped out. He looked at them, and he gave a scream in Russian, you can, you don't want to. And they said that these words rang in their ears for the rest of their lives. This was more powerful than what they had heard from the Mizrachim Maggid. All the rabbis and everything everybody had told them was nothing compared to this guy screamed out, you can, you don't want to. And this is a message for everyone. This is what Rav Nosson Zal is screaming here. You can. That most of us, all of us, are not going to have the option to say, I couldn't. That the world was so difficult a place that I couldn't pass the test. I couldn't win my Yetzirah. Or at least, I couldn't scream. I couldn't scream to Hashem for help. We'll come to that afterwards, maybe. Rakoyikr sheyizka leida mikoychoy. Main thing is for a person to get to know of his capabilities. Nimtzo shebeemes kolechod mi Yisrael hu bal koyach godol. Each and every single Yid can be called a Baal Koyach Godol. Rak shelav kolechot zoich leid da mikoychoy. Ulefi nefilas kolechot lebechin asmoichin dekatnus. And to the degree that each and every single Jew falls into this small-mindedness, into thinking of himself as a weakling, you know, not as a superstar, dehainu ma she'enu yedea mikoychoy, kemoikein noifel letaivois. This leads automatically for a person to be victimized by the Yetzirah. If you think of yourself as a schlepper, then the Yetzirah thinks of you as prime beef. He's looking for those kind of people who don't think highly of themselves. There's a pasuk, Rav Nosson Zal quotes it another place in the Likutei Luchos, Vaniyu beineinu kachagovim, v'chein hoyinu beineihem. By the Meraglim, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu that we were walking around in Eretz Yisrael and we saw these giants and we felt like glad. We felt, when we looked at them, we felt as if we were grasshoppers. You know, we felt like little midget running around there. And that's probably how we look to them. Those words, Rav Nosson Zal writes in Kutei Luchos, that's the problem here. That's the catastrophe here. The minute a person starts thinking of themselves as a nobody, as an incompetent, as a person who can't do anything right, that person, you know, is availing themselves that the Yetzer should give him a little shove and shove him right into all the Taivas Rois and Midas Rois. V'ho Iker le'Taivas Niyuf shehu Iker ha'Yetzer, and especially into that Taiva, which is the main Taiva that the Yetzer tries to trip a Yid up in. V'chol ma shodom oivra ve'ri Yoser chas v'shalom. And the more the person gets sucked in, you know, it's a chain reaction, as in person gets sucked in more, he does an Avera, and the Avera gives the Yetzer the strength to pull him in even further. To the point where sometimes the Yetzer is given the ability to swallow up the person so much where he doesn't just swallow up a finger, he doesn't just take a hand, he takes the guy's head and chest. You know, he swallows up mamish the etzem yahadus of the person. The Yetzer grabs mamish, you know, the ikar yiddishkeit of the person and swallows it up. Vehi mischazek esu megaberes levloya nekuda zois gamkein. And the Yetzer, you know, strengthens itself to try to swallow up mamish everything, even the most purest part of the person. And the Yetzer gets the person to commit major sin. Kidei livlei ayse legamri chas Hashem, in order to finish him off completely. That's going to be the finishing blow. Avol tekev kshiroitza livlei es etzem pnimius kidushosoi. However, sometimes when that happens, because the Yetzirah is eating this guy up, and the Yetzirah ate a finger, and the guy's screaming, ouch, but that's all he's doing, he's screaming, ouch. Then the Yetzirah goes for the hand, and the guy's screaming, ouch, even louder. Then the Yetzirah opens its mouth wide to swallow up his head, and then, azai zois hanekudo imedes la sedrach rebebes habliya shalot, then that head gets stuck in the throat of the sitrachra. Because every single Jew has fingers and has hands, you know, he has parts of him that are relatively weak, but then every Jew has parts of him that are very, very strong, both physically and especially spiritually. You know, the Yetzirah sometimes can snip off a mitzvah, you know, from a person. But when the Yetzirah wants to cut him away from Yiddishkeit completely, and the person realizes that, then the person suddenly doesn't want anymore. And the Sitrachra finds that it can't do that whatsoever. Not only doesn't it succeed in swallowing that up completely, but rather, it gets stuck in the throat of the Sitrachra, to the point where the Sitrachra is forced to spit up, to vomit up, to the point where the Sitrachra is forced to return everything it had taken away from that person through all the years. And again, there are stories like this in the Holocaust or times of Shmad, where there were certain people who bent. They bent, they started giving in to the guys who tried to convert them and everything, until they saw these guys do something or say something that touched them a certain way, and then that was the end. The guy said, now you can cut off my head, now I don't care what you do. You know, I'm out. Suddenly the Sitrachra, with all its tanks and everything, became helpless completely against this Nikud of Yid inside of him, which when they touched that, it was all over, you know. And this is the reason behind why sometimes you get a Jew who starts sliding, he starts going down and down and down, he falls into Averis and more Averis, and then suddenly, at one point, the person turns around and makes a major, major, major comeback. V'chein shomati me Rabbein Azal, and I heard this mamish from Rabbein Azal, shelefomim avera mevia sodom lidei tshuva, that there are times that it's an avera that leads the person, that knows, usually you say the law is avera goyreres avera, that an avera goes one way, pushes the person down. But there are times when the Avera has a slingshot effect. There's times when a person gets pushed down hard enough where this person suddenly explodes and comes back, you know, with 6 billion watts of fire and says, now I'm going all the way. Now I'm not just going to get back to where I was when I started. Now I'm going to become a rabbi and a rebbetzin and a tzaddik emes, and now I'm going for the whole ball of wax. Why? Hainu alidei shenilkad be'ez avera gedoyra rachmon slan. Through the fact that a person falls into a certain major, major avera, alidei ze nismarmer liboy, his heart becomes so embittered, v'nis oirer b'tshuva, and he becomes inspired to do tshuva, ad shenase bal tshuva gomor, to the point where the person is zeche to a shleimus hatshuva. We just had the Tisha B'Av, the Gemara in Gittin, Nevu Zaradan. There are very few people in the history of the world. Talk about Hitler. Hitler wasn't in a... There were other Hitlers. Nevu Zaradan was a Hitler. A guy, only again, he didn't use gas. He wasn't as refined as this dog, Yimach Shemoy V'Zichroy. He used a knife. In those days, they didn't have all the fancy stuff. They sliced heads and feet and hands off people. He started when he saw the blood of Zechariah Novi boiling. He said, okay, revenge? Wow, I'm just the guy for the job. My name is Butcher Nebuzaradan. Bring out the men, bring out the women, bring out the children. He started murdering thousands of men, Jewish men, women, and children. Koyhan and this, that, and the Gemara, and he was having a great time watching this. And then, and the blood still kept bubbling. And he was getting tired, like, they were getting tired of slicing off heads and stuff. So finally, he yelled out to the bud, not finished yet? If you, forget it! Now he'll roll up and take off his jacket. If you want, we'll wipe out everybody, we'll kill everybody here. And then the Gemara says the blood seeped into the ground and stopped. That was the end. That was enough to avenge the murder of Zechariah Navi. The Jews at the time had murdered a Navi, Zechariah Navi, and his blood wouldn't sink into the ground. You know, there was blood there. And this Hashem staged this whole thing for this Goy to catch it. And he asked them, what is this blood? They said, oh, it's blood of... They were ashamed to say that they had murdered a Navi. So they said, it's blood of sacrifices. He said, really? Bring some sacrifices. I want to see if sacrificial blood does that kind of dance. That ain't no sacrifice blood. And sure, they tested it. He said, you better tell me right now or I'll murder all of you, you know. So they admitted what happened. He said, oh, so probably this Navi is looking for revenge. What a sweet thing. Just the mitzvah I was looking for today. So he murdered all of these people, men, women, children, everything. And the Gemara says, when all of this finished, when this whole game finished, he said to himself, hey, this is really interesting. They killed one Jew, and look what happened. Look how many people had to pay for it. What does that say for me? What kind of punishment is waiting for me then for what I just did? I killed a couple of 100,000 or at least thousands of men, women, children. He said, you know, it's time to convert. It's time to do tshuva. And the Gemara says that this Nebuzaradan went ahead and converted. Converted means he did tshuva. Converted, and from him came forth rabbis who taught Torah to Bnei Yisrael and Bnei Brak. Talk about a person. And again, what led him to convert was that he murdered all of these people. Rahman al-Islam. You know, he had to hit a certain low, do a certain, you know, and he lahavda. We're talking about a goy here. But Muslims, I was taught explaining here that there are many cases of Jews where a Jew, Rahman al-Islam, falls, and the Yetzirah is not satisfied. More pulls him down, more and more, until finally the Yetzirah wants to cut off his bris milah. Like, we're going to wipe him out. And then suddenly the Yetzirah touches a certain button inside the Jew, where suddenly the Jew wakes up. Suddenly he feels something, and he realizes what's been going on, and he says, what am I, nuts? How did I let myself go so far, get torn so far away? That's it. It's over. And suddenly the Jew makes a comeback, you know, an incredible, incredible comeback. The chol zeal yidei bechina hanal, and it's all based on what we discussed earlier. Shelefahomim hasitra achra mevio yisoy lidei aveira gedoyla kol kach. There are times when the sitra achra brings a Jew, rachmona litzlan, to such an aveira, at shehu roitza levoyo yisoy legamri, where the Yitzhahara knows that if the Jew does this, he's gone completely. It means I swallowed him up with his head and chest and feet, the whole thing. No trace left of him whatsoever. And when that happens, there's something inside that yid. There's an akud of Yiddishkeit, of indestructible Jew, inside that Jew. Shehu bal koyach godol, which has unlimited strength just about. And again, this time the Yitzhahara is trying to swallow that also. And this gets stuck, this gets lodged in the throat of the Sitrachra. Not only does the Sitrachra not hit, you know, the final blow, but rather the Sitrach is forced to give back thousands and thousands of things that it swallowed up. The Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Chel Bola Vayikianu, that he swallowed up a lot and then was forced to throw it up. Rabbi Nizal once told a mushal related to this, if you recall, funny story about the guy, poor guy who had a store, you know, at one point he was selling stuff, making a living, And one day a guy walks in with a gun. Hold up your money or your life. Give me everything you have. And the guy cleans him out completely. Takes everything in the store, leaves, gets off on his horse, rides away in the sunset, and the guy just lost his whole store. He's got nothing. He can't open a store. He can't afford to open a store again. Now he's got to go become a peddler. So he buys a couple of trinkets, this, that, and he's walking with his wagon, you know, from city to city, trying to sell these trinkets. Sure enough, a couple of weeks later, he's walking with his trinkets, and he's got about $3.50 saved up from the past 2.5 weeks that he's been working. And suddenly, a guy rides up on a horse. Your money or your life, give me everything you have. And the guy says, I can't believe it. The second time in my life, this is happening. Wipeout, complete wipeout. And again, this takes away everything he has. And it happens to him a third time. And then finally, at the last time, you know, this happens at one point, and the guy says to the robber, please, they're not going to believe me. I'm going to come home without money. They'll say, I need you to do me a big favor. You got a gun. I want you to shoot a bullet hole through my head here so that at least I can come home. They'll say I'm a nut. I'm giving this stuff away. They have to see that I actually got shot, you know, before I gave this stuff away. The robber says, sure, I haven't shot this gun. Boom! Shoots the, you know, through the hand. He says, now another one, another bullet over here to make it look more real. And another bullet. And then the robber shoots like 3-4 bullets at him. And he says, okay, just one more. And the robber clicks and there's no more bullets in the thing. And the robber says, I can't. I ran out of bullets. He said, you ran out of bullets? Really? Runs over the guy, gives him a punch in the face, beats the daylights out of him, and runs over to the horse and opens up the saddlebags and finds in it everything that had been taken from him from 1987. You know, all this, that this was the same robber who had burglarized him again and again and again. And now suddenly in one shot, he got everything back that had been taken away. This mushal Rav Enizal gave to this story that we're talking about. Each and every single one of us in this world is opening up our little store, doing our business, you know, trying to do a couple of mitzvahs here, a couple of mitzvahs, you know, trying to serve Hashem. And then suddenly, knock, knock, it's the robber with his gun, wipe out. Suddenly he hits the person with an Aveira, Rachmon al-Islam, and the person does something bad enough, which Mamish can erase a lot of the mitzvahs he's done. Suddenly the guy's back to zero. He's got to start over again from scratch. And again, he's starting as a wounded soldier, you know, he's wounded. Starts again, falls again, starts again, falls again. And then suddenly, then he takes a real fall. And when he takes that real, real fall, sometimes that's what it takes for him to really wake himself up and say, that's it. That's it. Watch this. And suddenly he makes a comeback and he's able to retrieve, he's able to correct all the mistakes he made in the past. He's able to affect a tikkun for all the bad things he did in the past 20 years. When that adrenaline starts flowing, when he makes that decision that that's the last time this is happening to me, he has that ability.